in there.
Human or clean. And the music has been laid in on top of that, but it's almost a subliminal, but it certainly is effective. I feel it very deeply in my head. Listen.
Get that, because this had to be cleared up from all the other sounds that are in the human body, and then it had to be put together, and we've blended several colors that are in the several shades that are in the same color spectrum.
Is there any discernible effect in listening to these that you can see that would contribute to a healing process, or perhaps aligning this matrix, this auric field we have?
Well, I have one tape, which I have not sent to you. I sent you these where the music was under it, and the reason I didn't send you the pure sounds is because these are tied up in franchises, working with franchises at the present time, and therefore I couldn't have them played on the radio yet. But what happens when you hear these, and we have one that has all of the color spectrums moving right on up. And it starts with the red, and it goes into an orange, an amber, a yellow, moves on up into the blues and the mauves and the violets, vermilion, into gold and white. And when these are played, the energy field of the individual, regardless of where they're stuck or what colors and what vibrations they don't have, tend to blend. And by the time we have finished this, I've checked them, and the field is really quite good.
So it does have an effect on them, just listening to
them. Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Very good. Are you ready to talk to the folks? They're really lining up here on the line.
Sure, I'm ready to talk to anyone who has a question.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Valerie Hunt. We're talking about the human auric field, electromagnetics, and how that is beginning to play a greater role in your good health, not only physically, but mentally. And you'll have a chance to talk to Dr. Hunt in just a second on Open Mind on Talk Radio 79. Phone lines are already totally full, and we hadn't even
Great.
Given the phone number.
Oh, nice.
Because they do want to talk to you, and an old comrade of yours in arms, you guys are always into things, just walked into our studio. Who
Tell him hello. Here. He is a very, very marvelous and creative scientist in person.
Dr. Bob Beck. Bob,
yes.
You want to grab the microphone there and say hello to Valerie, if you will? And give us your impression of the work that she does. Hit that red button right there beside you there, yeah? There. You're
Hello, on. Valerie Hunt.
Hi, dear. I'm so glad we're on the same program. And I'm gonna stop soon so you can carry on and give me your exciting work.
Well, listen, you're exciting us with these sounds.
How do you like those new sounds?
I love them. A lot of people are wanting to know that are coming in. I just got word from Brad in there where they can buy these sounds, or are they available yet, or will they?
They are not available yet. We are still working with companies, merchandising companies, on the development of these. But tell them, hang on, they'll be.
They will be available.
And they will carry my name with them.
And others wanted to know how they could reach you.
How they can reach me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can reach me at Post Office Box 4234, Malibu, California.
And a zip on that?
90265.
90265, out there in Malibu.
Right.
That's so pretty out there.
Thank you.
All right. Now, let's go to our callers. I know they've been patiently waiting for the last 45 minutes or so. Don, you're on.
Yes, I wanted to ask Dr. Hunt, does increasing brainwave coherence raise the frequency of the aura energy? And along with that, is aura frequency and coherence highly coordinated?
No.
Correlated, I'm sorry.
No. The frequency can be, for example, in one part of the body. It does not have to be throughout the entire body. What I call coherency means that the entire spectrum is there, from the low frequencies through the middle frequencies to the high frequencies. That I call coherent. And just because a person has high frequencies, frequently they have a dropout in the middle. Some people come in with very low frequencies, don't go very far. Others come in with low and high, and some come in, some of our meditators and our people who are into metaphysical come in with very high frequencies but do not have a very coherent field. This is true of some of our psychics.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
All right, thank you very much, Amanda Don. And we have Eric on the line. Hello, Eric.
Hello. It's always a pleasure to listen to your show, and I'm very glad that I was able to reach Dr. Hunt. I wanted to ask her particularly if she felt that there was an interplay between the kind of work that she was doing with the sounds and with the use of mandalas.
The use of mandalas?
Yes.
Well, yes, Larry?
Eric.
Yep. I didn't hear very well. Eric,
okay.
There is, of course, the mandala is there to increase the total vibrational spectrum of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind of a stimulus which causes this to take place is good. Now, this was one of the reasons for the development of mandalas, I'm quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do know that by the meditation and the focus on the mandala, we do go up in consciousness. I have not tested to see whether we have the full spectrum or whether we merely just go to the upper ranges. But I think the concept is, and totally correct, that it is to raise the frequency vibrations of the body and therefore the experiences of the person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the reason I'm particularly interested in that question is that some people I'm part of a small group that has recently formed to work with mandalas in terms of color, shape, and so forth.
How marvelous.
In a as an adjunct to regular medical treatment.
Marvelous.
So, if do you have books and materials of that kind?
I have four books that will be coming out.
Oh.
I'm working on four at once.
Oh, my heavens.
You're an
ambitious
person.
No, what happens, you know, if you really want to have a complete a look at things, you don't come out with one and then another.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the entire spectrum of the emotional connections between these and many other factors, and so I have four that are in process right now.
Okay, well, now, if I were to write to you, would you be able to notify me about when the,
yes,
when
I
the,
would indeed.
When the books come out?
I will indeed.
Oh, great.
Thank you
okay.
for asking.
Surely, thank you.
All right, Eric, thank you very much for the call.
Goodbye.
Eric has been has quizzed us about the mandalas before. They're quite fascinating things. Dr. Hunt, I notice in the latest issue of Discovery Magazine, there is the lead article in the magazine, in fact, Bob Beck has it here with us, is about the discovery of this massive electric field in the human body. Are you familiar with the work of the Swedish scientist that...
I haven't gotten that edition yet, right yet. I don't know what happened to mine.
Well, it is Norsenstrom's. Is that the way the... I don't... do with Swedish very much. Bob, do you want to
fill us
in on this? Dr. Bjorn Norsentrum claims to have found the human body a heretofore unknown universe of electrical activity that's the very foundation of healing processes.
Yeah, this is it.
Critical
to
well-being as the flow of blood.
Same thing.
It's a great article to read.
I will read it.
All right. Now, let's go to Chris is on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hello, can you hear me, Bob?
We're hearing you fine.
Okay, I want to tell Dr. Hunt that I had a spinal cord injury 19 years ago, a thoracic 8 in the middle of my spine. I was totally paralyzed from there down. In 1978, I began working with a physical therapist, and my left leg was paralyzed. My right leg worked a little bit. But just concentrating, thinking of moving the left leg, well, I tried to move it. After about a year, I was able to move it.
Marvelous.
And I think this is something similar to what you're working with.
Yes, Chris.
And I'd like to be able to talk to you. You work at UCLA Medical Center?
No, I have retired from the university, so I can get my work done. You understand?
Yes.
You can't get your work done at UCLA.
Can't get your work done at UCLA, so I retired so I get my work done. I think this is very exciting. And let me just add a couple of things here. We're coming into a new physiological model of a human body. We used to think that when there was destruction in the nervous system, and particularly in the central nervous system, not the peripheral, that we're not able to regenerate. We're learning now that we do have the template, which means we have the pattern existing in the body and in the field, and that probably we will be able to regenerate hearts. That's a big one. Regenerate hearts, regenerate everything. Not only bring back function, but bring back tissue and structure. And I think it's marvelous that this has returned, and it was through your thought that brought it back.
There you are.
Does that help? Dr. Hurt.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you familiar with somebody who's doing research using radio waves on a central nervous system?
Particularly radio waves. Well, we're into the radio frequencies. Do you follow? And this is being used. Are you thinking of a particular one? Do you know the particular person?
Well, I heard the name a long time ago, but I don't remember. But anyway, I can contact you at P.O. Box 4324 Malibu, right?
Correct.
90265?
Right.
Well, I will do that.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thank you.
All right, Chris, thank
Bye-bye.
You for that, and carry on a good conversation with Dr. Hunt, because you're in good hands if you do. And the big hand on the clock has just caught up with us here. Dr. Hunt, would you mind staying with us for a while longer? We're going to take a break for our
news. Yes, I'd be happy to.
At 10 o'clock from ABC. And we'll be right back with Dr. Valerie Hunt, professor emeritus from UCLA, who is doing some fascinating work about your body, your health, the human auric field, a body of energy, a preponderance of energy that is just sort of sitting and simmering potential in your body. And if you know how to use it, it'll heal you, it'll keep you from aging. There's just no matter what it'll do. We're getting all of this information from the source, Dr. Valerie Hunt, who is a professor emeritus from UCLA, who has been delving deeply into this for a long time. She retired from UCLA so she could get her work done. She's writing four books at the same time. I think that's quite a lot of work right there, Valerie. And she's captivating us tonight with this thing called the auric field. Have we missed anything?
No, marvelous. Just marvelous.
We're on top of it here, huh?
You're very well on top.
Medicine is going in this direction, do you think?
Or
are we going to set medicine aside and go in this direction?
The frontier of medicine is electromagnetic or energy medicine.
Well, I had an interesting story I will share with you. Last August the 4th, my son, he's 26 years old, was bumped by a car and out in the street, rammed his knee up against the curb. And the specialist, when they operated on him, said they had never seen damage like that in the knee of a young man. And he was to be in a leg cast for about 6 months, and then in a leg brace for about a year and a half after that. And he'd never be able to water ski and ski again. Within 4 weeks, he was without the leg cast and the leg brace.
Marvelous. What did he do?
Well, I was done with a photograph.
Uh-huh. who did this?
Oh, that was just a little experiment we have going over at our place.
Uh-huh.
But he walks beautifully.
How great.
And I think that the electromagnetic fields involved here...
It is indeed.
Certainly opened up his own field, and he did the healing primarily.
Of course. The person always does the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's a healer or a mechanical instrument or some way in which the energy field is put to that body, it is the body that heals itself once the energy becomes coherent.
Yes. But I'll discuss with you the procedures we use in a very experimental way on that, but it started with a photograph. It's kind of fun.
Yes, I think I understand it, and I think I know who did it.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
There you are.
All right.
Okay. Well, it certainly works beautifully.
Yes.
We're going to turn on a little bit more of an aura here and get to Al, who has been wanting to talk to you for some time. Hello, Al. You're on. Al?
Oh.
Are you?
Hello.
There you are, Al.
Yes. Hello, Bill and Dr. Hunt.
My auric field wasn't hitting the right button.
No.
We're on now.
Go ahead, Al.
Oh, I wondered if maybe I have short-circuited my electromagnetic field. This afternoon, I had a shovel and a hoe in my hand, and I reached over to get another tool that I needed, and I stayed in that position. I wasn't bent over. I was just... And I have a backache like you won't believe. I look like a 70-year-old man walking around,
uh-huh.
and I'm only 66.
Uh-huh. Let me just add something here. Your field was already disturbed.
That's what you said earlier.
When you got a mechanical problem, and that is you were probably already mechanically tense in these muscles. So the fatigue was already there, and the energy field was already disturbed. And so now what you have is a disturbed energy field plus a mechanical problem with muscle spasms.
Well, how do I get that, my fingers dripping, or how do I plug into the back?
Yeah, let's get that energy running up and down
your back. Let's get that energy running up and down your back. And if you can't get your hand on it, and there's no one there with you to lay on hand and just let energy drip through their fingertips, water is a very, very good one. A shower, not only the heat that is increased by a warm shower, but also there's a radiation of electromagnetic energy around showers. This is one of the reasons that it stimulates us so much more than a bath.
Those are the good old negative ions.
That's correct. That is correct.
What about a spa? Do you have a spa, Al?
No, I'll come over and use yours.
All right. It's crystal clear, and I never put chlorine in it.
I know.
Well, let me tell you, the stationary water is not as good as the water which is pouring. And so the spa, if you're moving it, is better. The hot tub's not so good.
Well, that ends the spa trip, Al.
Yeah, just blew that out of the water.
Yeah. Blew that one out.
So what's this business about breathing through the... I should start breathing through my back?
Yes, you should start breathing as though you are imagining that you're pulling energy right in through your back. And take it in, and take it into your tummy and your chest, and then as you exhale, imagine that you're taking it out through your back. And we have tested this will increase the electromagnetic energy, and you will find the pain starts to go, and it will heal faster.
Let us pray.
Well, you've got a
good
little,
luck to you.
You've got a hitch in your
get along
auric field.
Yeah, you were in trouble when you started to work.
Hmm.
Or it wouldn't have happened.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Al.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for jumping in here with us. And spa's out, but get in the shower. And we have Craig on the line. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Bill.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
From way up there in Northern California?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you've done some incredible programs in the past, such as with Tom Bearden, Pat Flanagan, and, of course, the incredible, one of my all-time favorites with Rosemary Brown.
Uh-huh.
And tonight's program joins that select group.
Well, thank you, Craig.
Dr. Hunt.
Yes, Craig.
You may be aware in Japan they have what are called national treasures.
Yes, I do.
Valued elders, and I would nominate you to that category for our country.
I will accept it. How's that, Craig?
Okay. I have so many questions. I think we can kind of run through them in a continuing progression.
You're fading just a bit there, Craig. I know. Speak up a little bit.
Sure. Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Let's see. First of all, could you explain how you transformed the the colors of the aura into the frequency, sound frequency spectrum?
Yes, I can. The ordinary frequencies, the frequencies that we were picking up, went from approximately zero up to 200,000. Of course, you can't hear in those ranges, but this is a harmonic or a subharmonic of the original source. And we took that energy and amplified it, and that's all we did. And it came in with sound. So when this first happened, Craig, it was an accident. My laboratory manager turned up the instruments one day when we were playing it back on an oscilloscope, and we got sound. And so we realized that all we needed to do was amplify that part of this was in the range of hearing.
That was quite a discovery, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, indeed.
Now,
and you know, we'd say who's on second, who's on third. We didn't say that. We said who's in yellow and who's in red.
As you listen to these sounds, can you tell if there's something misaligned in the person?
We will be able in the future, I think, to make diagnoses based upon the field. And with elaborate new analytical technique called fractals, in which we can analyze the electromagnetic field by analogs, new kinds of analogs, not the kind that are presently here, we will be able to see the picture of disease in the field.
Mm. you know, you're getting ahead of me, Bill. I was heading that direction. There's one thing I'm still not clear, though. When you have an aura,
yes,
which is, well, the part that you see, of course, is in the visible spectrum.
Correct.
How does that correspond to the frequency spectrum that we can perceive as sound?
We're into the light frequency when we see it as an aura, correct?
Yes.
But within that, the harmonic that comes down has exactly the same pattern, but it doesn't have as high a frequency.
Oh, okay.
Got it?
Okay. All
righty.
That's very clear and straightforward, then.
Thank you.
Okay, have you done any tests where you play the music that corresponds to the colors?
Yes.
To see if you have a general recognition of what colors is being played.
That's a very interesting one. I haven't done a long-term study, but those people who are sensitive, now you're hearing the music because I can't at this stage give you the total sound.
Right.
They are elaborate and they are magnificent. These will be available, but as I said, I'm tied up now in franchise. But people who are sensitive can tell you exactly what color it is because they even turn that color themselves and they experience it. Now, not everyone can do this.
And is it a uniform? Well, I guess you're answering that.
Let me add one other thing, Craig, because your questions are so marvelous. And that is that there are some people that do not have red, a very strong red in their field. These are people who are not very active, physically active. They don't have a great deal of vitality. And generally, they are emotionally very bland. Frequently, they cannot tell red, and they don't even like red. Are you
following? Talking about me.
I don't think so. I don't think so. There are other people that are so high in consciousness, and frequently these are some of our people in metaphysics today that don't have any red, but they have all blues and violets, and they're highly susceptible to that. And then I have found some machos who have all the reds and the oranges, and they can't tell blue and violet from anything.
You're
they
talking
don't
about
care.
Bob Beck now.
No, I'm not. He is a very high boy.
Yes,
he has the red, too, I know.
Have you seen Bob Beck's aura?
Of course.
Red, huh?
No, I didn't say that. He has a full spectrum.
Yeah, he's got everything.
He's what you call loaded.
I had a thought about a week ago. I don't know, I'm sure this must happen to you from time to time where you're not really thinking in a focused way about anything, and a thought comes to you unbidden, as it were.
Yes.
It occurred to me that in the future we may well be able to use narrow frequency bands, whether in the visible spectrum or outside it, such as you might generate with a laser, for healing by applying it, say, through the eyes or through some other part of the body.
Of course. Now, the only one caution which I have right now, and that is as soon as you come into mechanically created, you don't have the modulation as much. And if I could show you the data which I have, you will see a very dynamic modulation, which is the human field. And when we work with other fields, they're more succinct. They don't have the harmonics
mm-hmm.
that goes with them. And I think we will be able to just use the human field. We can accentuate that, but use the human field and use these and heal more readily because it's more compatible.
It's also more appropriate technology, I guess.
Of course.
How does the AMA take all of this, Dr. Hunt?
Well, some of the AMA are very excited, and
mm-hmm.
some of the oldsters and the diehards are not.
All they want to do is cut, cut, cut.
That's right. But you see, as long as people in our country decide that they're not going to be cut, cut, cut all the time, and surgery certainly is important in many instances, but we're the people who will make the decision. And when we say we do not wish to have it the other way, we want to be personally involved in our own health, we can make choices. And there are many physicians who are very excited.
Well, that's wonderful that they're looking at the fact that
yes,
there's more
are.
To the human body than just a bunch of cells.
Correct.
There's a dynamic source of energy there and a source of incredible intelligence that's making it all run.
Of course.
Have you ever thought about where that comes from?
Well, I have. In fact, that's the whole next line, and I could go on for hours. But I had a very exciting breakthrough that came as I was recording this energy field. I found that it responds to situations before anything happens inside the physiological body. Anything we could record, I had on brainwave testers, the heart rate, the blood pressure, the galvanic skin response. And by the time we picked up signals in these systems, the auric field had already changed. And I would manipulate the auric field to see what was happening. And all of a sudden, I said, you don't suppose we're picking up a part of the human mind. Now, we've never known where the mind is. We know that the higher levels of the mind is not in the brain. This has been told to us by our great neurosurgeons and neurophysiologists. And we probably are picking up here the part of the mind which does read the field of other people. And this is your clairvoyance,
mm-hmm.
This is your telepathy, is occurring in this field. And this is where I believe the mind, the highest level of insight, intuition, imagination, creativity, these aspects of a human being that we have never been able to locate in the human brain.
You're heading in the direction in the conversation which I really wanted to go. I was going to ask you, can we relate the kinds of energies that we've been speaking of with what a lot of people refer to as life energy?
Yes.
Can we define that specifically now? Because that is a term that gets thrown around loosely. And in the past, it's been very difficult to really define it well.
Well, we have to kind of come around the hill for it. We found out that at the time that the vital processes stop, there is a great change in the field, and there are a great deal of photons released, and this was, I believe, came from Switzerland, in which the radiation coming from the body in photons is 10 to 100 times greater at the instance of physiological death. So we can say that this is connected with the life with the life activity.
Have they found anything corresponding to that at birth? Because I had a very strong experience that I could really only describe in those kind of terms. With the birth of my son, shortly after he was born, he had a difficult birth. It was as if a burst of energy hit me. As he turned from blue to pink.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you picked up his field, Craig, and you were very sensitive to it. Now, as his field radiated, and there was an emotional factor here on your part, too, and that is, as he came into a more vital life process, this accentuated your field activity. So, see, what you're saying is very exciting, because we're talking about transactions. We're not just talking about a field. We're talking about a transaction between fields.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the primary communication, I believe, between living species.
Oh, you're really heading where I wanted to go, because I wanted to ask you about that and about emotions. Have we gotten to the point where we can define, beyond using psychological terms, what emotions are? My sense is that they are, in some sense, either different frequencies of some sort of energy. Do you see where I'm heading?
Yes, I know exactly. In fact, I have one book coming out, which is called Emotions and the Mystical Experience, in which we will relate that to the frequency system.
Are they complex waveforms or what?
Yes, very complex.
Uh-huh.
I think what we call emotions is the organization of the field. It has an organization. It's not totally random. And I believe that it is what we call emotions, which organizes the field.
Hmm. And we do the organizing.
That's right.
Have you been able to characterize in real distinct terms the different emotions?
Yes. That I can say, yes.
All right, Craig?
Okay. I guess it's...
That blows your mind, doesn't it, Craig?
I guess it's a little difficult to get into the detail on that on the radio, I can imagine.
Well, we do have other things we've got to do.
Right. Do you have any books that are currently available?
Do I have any what?
Any books that are currently available?
Don't have any currently available ones, but they will be out within this year.
Okay.
Coming out soon, and so is the music.
Well, it's really been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Craig.
Craig, it's always good to have you on the horn, and you have to call all the way down from way up there in Northern California. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'm Bill Jenkins. With me is Dr. Valerie Hunt. We'll be back in just a moment. Marie Hunt is with us. It's been a stimulating hour and a half, and I appreciate, Valerie, you staying up late to kind of electrify the folks as you've done tonight. Can we recap what you've said, and we'll get on with Dr. Beck, and I'd like for you to, you know, listen to what he has to say. Because
I will indeed. I'll go straight to the radio.
Go straight to the radio on there. But the gist of the conversation that you and I have had tonight is that in this old body of ours, there is something very fundamentally that's going on about it that we can call the auric field. I use the term a matrix upon which our body is built. And this seems to be where the problem arises when that gets out of kilter, more than the physical body. The physical is only going to respond to that, isn't it?
Right.
And your research and others that are in this field around the world is pointing a whole new way for the medical profession to go. Let's get down to the very basic reason for this disease that...